So hopefully you can see a service sheet for the sixth Sunday after Trinity. It's lovely to be with you all. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Almighty God, as we gather, let us be quiet and find your presence. We rejoice in the mystery of your loving justice. Help us to understand what your love means and how we can share that love with others, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we say together, Our Father in heaven, we come to worship you. We gather as your people. We seek your kingdom and its outworking among us, yearning for the world's sufficiency, searching for peace and harmony, justice and fairness. To you, our God, we come. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And our first reading is from Colossians 2, starting at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. In the day that I called to you, you answered me. You put new strength in my soul. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord will be high, he watches over the lowly. As for the proud, he regards them from afar. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will preserve me. You will stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. The Lord shall make good his purpose for me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Your loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Lord our God, supreme over all things, look upon the humble and lowly, and put new strength into our souls to complete your purpose for us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our second reading is taken from Luke 11, starting at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you could ask Jesus something, what would it be? If you could ask him absolutely anything, what would you ask? Would you ask questions like, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Or, "Who is my neighbor?" Or, "How many times should I forgive someone?" Or would it be a question that comes from deep within? Why did that happen? When will this suffering end? How long, O Lord? How long? Over the course of my life, there have been hundreds of things that I would have liked to have asked Jesus, and there still are. But I found myself thinking this week, have I asked them? Or do I just assume that I know what he's going to say? Assume that I know the answer? There are three phrases that have set me thinking in today's gospel reading. The first thing that struck me about this morning's gospel is the simple request asked by a nameless disciple. "Lord, teach us to pray." It's a great request, one of the best, and I'm not sure that I have ever asked it. "Lord, teach me to pray." Not, "Please answer my prayers." Not, "Please listen to me." Not, "Hear what I am praying, Lord, and here's what I want to happen." No, just, "Lord, teach me to pray." Would it ever occur to me to ask God to take me back to absolute basics and teach me how to pray? Would it occur to you? Would it occur to us as a congregation here on Zoom to spend time with God, asking him to teach us how to pray together? It's interesting to me that the disciples feel the need to ask the question in the first place. After all, they're not rookies at prayer. It was more than likely that they had attended synagogue each week and attended services on the Sabbath. They would have been used to lifting their hands in worship or lying flat on the ground in an act of confession. They knew how to pray, but clearly they felt there was something missing. I wonder if the same can be true for us too, especially if we are well versed in the liturgy and ways of formal worship. We know how to do these things: the confession, the absolution, the Gloria, the Eucharistic prayer. Well, at least we know one of them, and the well-formulated poetic style of the prayer book and common worship. We know how it's done. But sometimes, don't you, just like the disciples, think that there might be more and that there's something missing? It's also worth pointing out that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray just after Jesus had finished praying. So what had the disciples seen when Jesus was praying? Had prayer become a spectator sport? What had the disciples seen about Jesus' prayer life? We can't know for sure, but we do know that the disciples knew that Jesus took prayer very seriously. He went away by himself to do it. He could spend hours in prayer. No doubt when Jesus prayed, his disciples realized that Jesus was entering into a deep and intimate relationship with God. There was peace and trust, a closeness, a sense of belonging, which was deeply, deeply enriching, but also transforming and energizing. They could see that prayer gave Jesus a sense of direction and purpose. He gained strength from it. It was life-giving and nourishing, and they could see that Jesus needed to do it. So when the disciple asked Jesus to teach us to pray, I don't think he was really saying, how do we do it? They were saying, show us how to pray as you do. Teach us to be with God as you are. Show us how we can have that intimacy, that sense of belonging and purpose. Show us how we can spend hours in God's presence, content to simply be with him, instead of wanting quick answers to our self-absorbed requests. Teach us how to pray. Dare I ask that? Dare we ask it? Teach us how to pray. Do we really want to pray like that? Do we desire that intimacy, that vulnerability, that willingness to be completely and utterly changed, to allow God to unmake our tangled lives, our broken and flawed personalities and relationships, and help us to start anew? The second phrase that struck me is this. Jesus said in reply, when you pray. In response to the disciples' request, Jesus answers, when you pray. Pray like this. When you pray. Clearly, Jesus expects his disciples to pray. Surely it would have been more realistic to say, if you pray. Let's be honest, when do I pray? When something terrible happens? When I need help? When I'm in church, when I've made a New Year's resolution to pray more, when do I pray? When you pray, says Jesus. I can hear him say that so casually. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, praying is a given. It's a prerequisite. Praying is not a special activity reserved for special people. It's not for the favored few. It's not for professional prayers like bishops and nuns. It's what we do. It's what God's children were made to do. It's part of our DNA. And if we start to do it and lean into it, develop a rhythm of prayer, it will grow in us and become like the air we breathe. And the final phrase that shouted at me are those words, ask, seek, knock. Firstly, we are given permission. We are invited to ask. We are invited to name our deepest desires and longings and to ask them to be fulfilled. We don't have to pretend that all is well. We can say that we are not completely satisfied. We can say we long for God's kingdom to come because it's not here yet. We can say we want lives to be changed and for people to know God's love, because although some do, the vast majority don't. We can thank God for all that he is doing in the life of our churches. But we can also say, when will your Holy Spirit come in power and shake us and transform us? And even though it's midnight, we can keep banging on the door and keep praying. Your kingdom come. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Bang, bang, bang. Ask, seek, and knock. This is bold, aggressive prayer. This is what it means to wrestle in prayer. This is what it means to be serious about prayer, contending with God. When I was at Trinity studying theology, there was a large group of Korean students. They were extremely quiet and polite and treated me, because I was a more mature student, with huge deference and respect. But when they prayed, boy, did they pray with such force and ferocity. They beat their chests and they cried out to God. I shall never forget one occasion, a group of them beating their chests and crying out to God about the state of our nation. And I found myself thinking, I've never done that for my nation, and they're doing it for ours. From the parable Jesus told, it would appear that God is not concerned by the prayer of good manners or social etiquette. He is asking us to engage with it and with him. We don't have to be polite, but we do have to be real. Jesus finishes his teaching on prayer by saying this: if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus promises that there is an answer to our prayers. And the answer, every single time, is the Holy Spirit. That's it. There is no other answer and no other guarantee. Prayer is not a transaction. It's not a case of, if I pray for this, God will give me that, end of. It's not like that. And we know it. I am sure we have all prayed for things which have not been answered in the way we would have wished. People have become ill. People have died. Wars haven't stopped. Children are still starving. It's hard. And I don't know about you, but I find the answers to these unanswered prayers unsatisfactory. You're not praying hard enough, someone might say. You need more faith. God has answered, but the answer is no. When that happens, it's hard to be persistent. I don't know about you, but for me, disappointment and cynicism seeps in. And of course, there's nothing worse than some bright, smiley super Christian telling you story after story about answered prayer when you seem to be getting absolutely nowhere. It's easy to give in to that little whisper, why bother? When we read this passage, we hear God's actual promise to us. When we pray, when we persist in prayer, when we are honest in prayer and name our deep longings and desires, God will never fail to give us his very self, his Holy Spirit. He will not withhold his Spirit from us, his loving, comforting, healing, transforming, and empowering Spirit. The Spirit is the answer. She is the only answer to all our needs. The Spirit is God's yes. Maybe that's what the disciples saw in Jesus when he prayed, the presence of the Holy Spirit radiating through him. Maybe seeing the beauty of the Spirit in Jesus was so compelling that the disciples wanted to experience her too. It's a challenge, isn't it? Am I happy to accept that the answer to all my prayers is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Or is that not enough? Do I want God to do stuff for me more than I want God himself? The only way I see myself through this is to rest in God in prayer. And so we pray. We pray because Jesus wants us to. We pray because that's what we were made to do. And we pray because what we need above all else is God's Spirit to be poured in us. Amen. And so now let us turn to prayer. Our prayers for others bring us to our knees in gratitude for what we have and in desiring for the needs of those around us. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. Having experienced heat waves which floored and discomforted so many of us, we pray for all those across the world who daily have to deal with such temperature extremes. Those whose houses are flimsy and unstable and uninsulated against cold or heat. Those who have no place to find retreat and rest from the heat. Lands become parched more readily and crops wither. Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya are facing extreme hunger if rains don't come soon. May we and all the world find ways to support each other and reduce our impacts on the climate, that all, now and in the future, may live more sustainable, healthy lives with food enough for the day. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. For all those who work in social care and the health services in our country and around the world, where underfunding, lack of resources, lack of support and misuse and abuse by so many causes stress to staff, deteriorating care at crisis times, delayed diagnosis and insufficient support. We pray for those who work, who plan for, who fund and who need to use such services. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. For governments and regimes around the globe who find themselves in turmoil, we pray for a wider recognition of the needs of all and seek equality and fairness for all humanity. We pray that we may, in our small way, be part of the solution. For those who seek to flee corrupt and violent regimes and who put themselves in danger to simply find a better way of life, may they find welcome, care, love, support, and guidance as they journey. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. For those who's without faith or moral compass, who do not seek the kingdom of God, the support and love of God, who do not seek or know the burning of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, in their lives, we pray that they may see the spark in others and be drawn to faith and find the love and comfort that faith can bring. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. For those who still work tirelessly on COVID research and prevention, for those who diagnose and nurse, who support and care for those infected, for those who still need to shield to keep safe and virus-free, for those who suffer from long COVID, and all whose mental health has been impacted by the virus and the change in our way of life, those who struggled with lockdowns and who find it hard to rejoin society, who have become reclusive and fearful of being in crowds. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. For the lost, the lonely, the ill, the dying, and the bereaved, that in times of pain, confusion, and grief, they may find comfort in God, in family, friends, or neighbours, in a touch, a word, a smile, or a companionable silence. And this morning, we pray for those who are unwell in our communities: Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, Helen, and others known to us. And we also pray for the family and friends of those who have died recently, and ask that your Holy Spirit would bring love, peace, and comfort. So for the family and friends of Angela Burrows, Leonard Reed, Stephen Troke, and Derek Wren. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. This day, these are our prayers for those whose lives touch our lives, our consciousness, our very being. They are the prayers for the people whose needs weigh heavily upon our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit of God, hear our prayer. Amen. And the collect for the day. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Thank you very much for your company this morning. Thank you, Dawn, for reading the readings at the last moment. I hope you will have a brilliant day. Just a reminder that if you would like to come and have afternoon tea at the rectory tomorrow afternoon, you are very welcome. It would just be nice. You're all very welcome. It would just be nice to know exactly how many people might be coming. And so do please let me know if you'd like to come. The coffee morning will be on Zoom for the last time until September. We will meet in person on the second Wednesday of the month, but we're going to rest the Zoom until September. And I hope that you have a very peaceful, blessed day and week. And thank you very much for your company, and see you next Sunday.